Oh, get ready to laugh, get ready to grin. Her name is Kelly and mine is Justin. Welcome back to Parents Night In. Come hang out with us, you'll be on cloud nine. We're kicking right back and drinking some wine. Please subscribe to Parents Night In.
Happy holiday season, folks.
Ho, ho, ho.
Slay Kelly is back.
Slay Kelly?
Yeah. Kelly the ho.
That's not appropriate.
Kelly the ho, ho, ho?
That's okay.
Okay.
Welcome to Christmas time.
Welcome to Parents Night
In. Parents Night In.
Here at enough.com.
Tonight, we are going to watch the 2004 classic. The 2003 classic, Elf. One of my favorites. An immediate classic.
It took me time to get into this one.
I'm shocked by that.
Well, I saw this after I saw Anchorman, and
That's true.
Anchorman is such the definitive Will Ferrell movie that watching anything else with him after that was kind of a letdown. So I was like, it was all right. I don't know if I'd watch it again.
I didn't see them in that order. I saw Elf first because I saw it in the theater. And I'm not sure it would have changed anything because this, I just thought that that Mr. Favreau did a really good job of capturing the season.
He did.
And the childlike, you know, view and the fish out of water and the whole thing was done really well.
I think part of it is when we first saw it, I was thinking, oh, it's a Will Ferrell comedy. It'll be PG-13 and a little bit raunchy. And it's not that. It's very family friendly.
Yes.
I think I was not in the right mindset the first time we watched it.
You were like waiting for the shoe to drop and it never dropped?
Yeah, a little bit. But, okay. You know, after a couple more viewings, I was like, okay, I enjoy this. It's fun.
It's so fun.
Will Ferrell is delightful.
Yeah.
You know who was originally asked to play Buddy the Elf?
No.
Jim Carrey.
Oh.
And he said no.
I'm glad he did. Yeah, Will Ferrell does it so perfectly.
Will Ferrell was great for this.
Yeah.
It was also Will Ferrell's first starring role.
Oh, really?
Which I didn't realize until I looked it up.
I was actually thinking about this movie recently in the context of Zooey Deschanel because I just binge watched New Girl. I'm very late to the party
twice.
On that one. I didn't get through the whole thing twice, but almost. Mm. Super late to the party on it, but it's the kind of thing that I would keep on like in the background while I was doing stuff around the house. And this was my first introduction to her as well. I'd never seen Zooey Deschanel in anything before this.
She was in Almost Famous.
I don't remember her in that, though. Okay. Like, to be fair, I didn't remember
this
that
she
was...
the first time you noticed her.
Yes. Now I look at her in this movie and I'm like, how? Why? It's so weird. Like, it's just so weird to see her with short blonde hair.
You know, the blonde hair was not for this movie. I think she had either auditioned for or shot something that never got released, and she colored her hair blonde for it.
Oh.
So she auditioned for this movie with the blonde hair, and they did a screen test and everything. And then when she was cast, she was like, well, I'm not really blonde. And they were like, no, keep the blonde hair, because that's, like, we based your casting partly on that.
Right. I also really, really love how they kind of did a play on the Rudolph thing.
Yes.
With this, like... They have the snowman. They have the like sort of storybook that I loved that the backgrounds.
The stop motion type.
Yeah.
Creatures.
Yep. And I love that the backgrounds in the North Pole are all very sort of monochrome.
Yeah. Washed out like in Rudolph.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Because it makes all the stuff that's happening on the screen pop that much more.
Right.
But that I think that was initially when I first sat in the movie theater and saw this. Like that was part of what grabbed me because when I was younger... Rudolph was like the end-all be-all of Christmas specials for me.
It was one of my favorites. I won't say
you
it was,
were a Grinch person.
I was a Grinch person, but Rudolph was like in my top three and still is, I would say,
yeah.
In terms of specials.
But this captured that same feel very well.
Apparently, they were able to do all these Rudolph references royalty-free because when they made Rudolph, they screwed up the copyright notice. Like, they put the wrong year on it, so it somehow invalidated it. I'm not sure why
that's
that,
ridiculous.
That would invalidate it, but... Is that Santa? Oh my God, is that Santa?
Yes, Justin, it's Santa.
Is that what Santa looked like?
Who are you supposed to be?
I don't know.
This scene was like the defining moment of how perfectly he's able to capture a childlike personality.
Yeah.
This whole exchange about like well, Christmas spirit, everybody knows that.
Parents can do that all in one night.
There are plenty of people out there that are Will Ferrell haters, and to them I say, poo-poo.
To them I say, you're dead inside.
Will Ferrell is a gift to humanity.
He is.
I mean, he does.
I don't love him in everything.
I was going to say
he's done some terrible movies.
He takes some swings and misses.
Yes,
but however, when he hits hard.
Yes, he does. He's a slugger.
He does not play it safe, and I think that's why he has so many misses.
He's like the comedic Manny Ramirez.
Yes.
When he hits it, it goes out of the pack.
He's the comedic Big Poppy.
He goes yad.
He went yad on that one. I love that they're making Etch-a-Sketches. Yeah, like that I thought was so great.
It's funny they're making brand name items.
Which I thought was so important because I remember anytime you watch Santa, and it's like, I've never gotten a train or doll that looks like that.
Yeah, like a generic train.
Yeah, so as a kid, I always like noticed that stuff. And so I remember when I went to see this, I took my cousin, who at the time was...
He would have been like
nine.
Eight or nine.
He would have been...
Eight.
So when I took him, we were sitting in the theater, and I was like, oh, this is like perfect for his age. All the toys are like exactly what he would play with. And
oh, this sound effect?
Yeah.
Is the hyena from Lady and the Tramp. And Jon Favreau set up all of the Jack in the Boxes with Jacks in the Box with remotes so that he could trigger it so that it would be legitimately surprising to Will Ferrell when it went off.
That's smart.
Yeah. We have that exact Jack in the Box.
Yes, we did. That scene freaking killed me when we saw it in the theater. I couldn't stop laughing. And his faces are so perfect.
Yeah.
It helps to know that that's part of it, right? That like... He didn't know when it was coming genuinely. Because I was like, how does he make it seem like he doesn't know when it's coming?
Yeah.
So when our son was little, Justin's mom brought us this Jack in the Box that was his nephew's, who was born in, what, 02?
02.
But he had the same Jack in the Box. And so we were playing with it and playing with it and playing with it. And when we watched Elf that winter, I was like, oh my God!
Yeah.
What are you drinking tonight?
I'm drinking a wine that my mom got me.
I didn't try it. Can I try some?
Called Ketchum Estate Pinot Noir.
You're drinking ketchup?
Ketchup, yes. You won't like it.
How do you like it?
I like it. It's very good. It takes a long time to open, which is unusual for
it's really interesting.
Any Pinot, but especially a high-end Pinot.
I'm drinking some bread and butter Chardonnay.
Bread and butter.
Bread and butter. I love Leon the Snowman. I was like enamored that he looked so much like Sam.
Mm.
And like, how did they get the permission to do that? That's amazing.
You know who his look is based on? There's a musician called Leon Redbone who kind of looks like that, except he
isn't Leon Redbone who does the voice? Who's the guy that does the voice? He's a really familiar voice. Wait. I'm asking you, but I shouldn't be asking you.
You should.
I am gonna look it up on Google. Was that good?
Not great.
Google is where I'm looking. Gonna find out who does the voice.
You said, gonna find out who is him. So Buddy has found out that, he's just found out that he's not really an elf, that he was adopted by the elves.
It was Leon Redbone.
Was it?
Yeah.
Oh, okay.
Wouldn't have made sense to not do that.
Also, coincidentally, Leon is Noel backwards.
Oh.
Oh, here's Buddy's real dad. It's Sonny from The Godfather.
Hey, Sonny.
He's just about as nice as Sonny from The Godfather.
Honestly.
So now Buddy is going to go off and find his real dad.
Yeah.
Because he's figured out he does not belong at the North Pole. He's not an elf. He's a human who's 6'3" and has a disgusting scar on his stomach.
I love the crying.
The walrus is crying.
This cry is ridiculous. Okay, can I tell you something that I'm really embarrassed to admit?
Hold on. Apparently that was Jon Favreau.
Really?
As Mr.
Hey,
Marvel.
Hey, buddy. Hope you find your dad.
I say it all the time. I don't know.
What you were embarrassed to admit?
No, I'm embarrassed to admit that I didn't know narwhals were real. So the first time I saw this, I was like, what's coming out of the water? Oh, that's like a whale with like a horn. That's weird. And then it said it was a narwhal. And I was like, that's clearly a fictional character.
You're like Joey Tribbiani when he finds out about the Netherlands.
Yeah.
See, the Netherlands is this fake place where Peter Pan goes.
Right. So I think it was, I mean, I had Instagram. So it was like in the last 5 or 6 years. And I was like, oh, wait, what? Wait, narwhals are real?
Apparently there were a lot of accidents in the Lincoln Tunnel when he walked through because people were like, what the fuck is that?
Yeah. Oh, my God. Could you imagine driving through the tunnel and then being like, is that Will Ferrell in an elf costume?
They're shooting SNL. And I guess this montage was the last thing they shot.
Oh, really?
And it was just Will and Jon Favreau and like one camera guy, and they just drove around in a car and got out and asked people if they would take like money on the spot to be extras.
That's pretty fun.
The Empire State Building. Have you been to the Empire State Building?
I've been to the Empire State Building. I have not been to the top, but I've been in the lobby.
So that doesn't count. As we established on How I Met Your Mother, that does not count.
Correct. The day that I went to New York and the plan was to go to the top of the Empire State Building, it was too cloudy, so they closed the observatory.
They close it for that? That's weird.
There's no point in going up there if you can't see anything.
I guess. I've been there twice. I went in 1985 with my mom.
Mm-hmm.
And it was the most exciting thing. We got to go, like, the observatory is on the 88th floor, but you could go up to the 103rd, like in that tiny little room. So we went up there and you can barely see out of it. It's these little portholes. But I loved going up there because King Kong stood up there. So, and then I actually went in 2001. I had already been to the World Trade Center a couple times, like in 99. So I was like, let's go to the Empire State Building. It's been years since I was there.
Like comparatively, after going to Top of the Rock, what was your thought?
I like Top of the Rock better than the Empire State Building, I think, because you can see the Empire State Building.
Right, yeah. So you like you get that actual...
There's just more to look at from Top of the Rock. And Top of the Rock has that... It's got an observatory, but it's got like different levels and stuff.
Yeah.
And it's the Empire State Building observatory is all on one floor, so it's...
Can you see the park from the Empire State Building?
And there's like bars and stuff. Like the Top of the Rock has the cool glass...
Yeah, that is cool.
...panes, so like you can... your view's
you
not
can see
obstructed.
Through. My grampy... Rest in peace, my grampy, hated this movie.
Really?
He hated it.
Why?
I don't know. He thought it was so stupid. This is idiotic, he would say. And he was like wasn't that grumpy about that kind of stuff. He loved fun movies.
This is idiotic. What a banana head. Why is he singing?
I love you. I love you. I love you. I like how he basically scares
he
himself.
Stops himself, yeah. I love you.
So I think it aggravated my grandfather that this giant man baby was here. He was like, well, I don't understand why this guy's acting like an idiot.
Because he's an elf.
And then my grandfather, who loved The Godfather and mob-style movies and all, he just got hit by a taxi.
He was annoyed.
I think he was annoyed that
James Caan was in a comedy.
Yeah. He was like, what's he doing in a movie like this?
Ooh, hi, Zoe.
This was also before, basically, she turned into the girl who only played the quirky girl.
Yes.
Like, she's not super quirky in this movie.
No,
She's
cynical.
Like, jaded, yeah.
Yeah. Why are you messing with me?
Somebody posted a thing. It was an article about characters who basically only play themselves.
Yeah.
And they were like, yeah, Zooey Deschanel is always the quirky girl who sings.
Yep.
And those are the only two things about her. She's quirky and she sings.
Pretty much.
But she does it so well.
Oh,
I don't complain. I love
her.
There's
a lot of actors like that. Like, Jeff Goldblum always plays himself, and he's great. Yep. And Jack Nicholson always plays himself.
I think Will Ferrell was on the list for basically playing like a giant man baby.
Yeah.
And you know who else was on the list was not Favreau, the other Swingers
Vince
guy.
Vaughn.
What is wrong with me? Vince Vaughn.
Yeah,
of course
totally.
Vince Vaughn.
He always plays himself.
This scene is great when he decorates the whole place for Christmas.
I can't hear this Nutcracker piece without hearing you hear it
in Swing all the time.
I hear it in Swing all the time. There's a Bach piece that I think Jethro Tull did, and they turned it into like a swingy piece, and it's the same phenomenon.
Which piece is it?
That's an old Bach piece.
I can't play. I
Jethro
can't play.
Jethro Tull did. And it's just way cooler that way.
Yeah. Okay.
Music is my jam. Oh. She's in the shower singing Baby, It's Cold Outside.
I love how he like sneaks in and he just decides to sing with her.
You know, she has that long, who's singing with me? Except really what she's saying is, why isn't he doing the harmonies?
Yeah.
What's this octave shit? What a hack. That is a hell of a cityscape. That looks like a Christopher Nolan movie.
That's incredible. I want to know how long it took.
Which window are the burglars going to burst out of?
I don't know. Oh. I want to know how long it took the set designers to put together those Legos, only to have them beaten up by a bat later.
Yeah, they had to do that scene in one take because it would have taken way too long to put back together.
And then it's like, you really got to be good to pull that off. She sort of gets like, she's happy with him because he built it and they're pissed about it. And she clearly is unhappy with her job. So she's like, yay, he pissed them off. He's my friend now.
I think it's partly that and just like, this is you? I think it's sort of the first moment where she's like, "Oh, that's
he's cool.
He's interesting a little bit."
Yeah. It's Amy Sedaris, right?
I can never remember her name. What is she famous for? Yeah, I think it's Amy Sedaris.
She's the one that's also in Mando.
Yes, yes, yeah. Yes, her. What was she famous for?
Strangers with Candy.
That's right. Who else was on that?
Oh.
Okay. Good talk.
Yeah, it's Amy Sedaris. Well, I'm going to look it up on IMDb.
Ooh, is this a spinoff?
Yep.
Crap, now I got to make a fucking graphic for that. God damn it.
You know, it probably should have been this the whole time because 90% of the time when I look things up on Google, it brings me to IMDb. I'm going to look it up on IMDb.
It's like an 80s jingle for like a furniture store. Come buy your couches at IMDb.
The cast was Paul Dinello, Stephen Colbert, Greg Holloman, Amy Sedaris, Deborah Rush.
I'm trying to burp and it's not coming out. And my arm is moving, but it's not doing shit. There it goes. It turned out that doing this worked anyway, and I'm gonna do it every time I burp. Thanks.
This is my life, people.
Coincidentally, so Mary Steenburgen plays Will Ferrell's stepmom. She plays his mom in Step Brothers.
Oh, that's right. I forgot about that. What year did that come out? Oh, 07?
Oh, wait.
Okay. That was close.
We didn't see that in the theater. You know why?
Why?
Because it came out a week after The Dark Knight, and we didn't see anything in the theater for months after The Dark Knight because we were seeing The Dark Knight over and over again.
I forgot about that.
That's the last movie that that's happened with.
Right.
Where it's like, I don't care about other movies at all right now. I just want to see The Dark Knight over and over again.
Other movies don't count. They don't matter.
Other movies do not matter. Everything else is obsolete. Oh my God, it's Harry. Dad!
Seriously.
I need you to come upstairs with me and turn the light on.
In our old house... He was only right down the hall, a door and a half, two doors away.
And a door and a half?
Door and a half.
Half door?
Yeah. And he wouldn't get up in the middle of the night if he needed you. He'd just yell, mm-hmm. Mom, Mama,
Mama,
Dad. Now we're on different floors. And so if he needs me in the middle of the night, he just comes downstairs and scares the bejesus out of me by standing over me. Mama.
I'm watching you sleep.
Mama, I got nervous. Oh, yeah? Well, I just died of fear.
Hey, Mama, why are you drooling on your pillow?
Maple syrup and tomatoes. Just don't feel like that's a thing.
She should have taken acting classes from Joey.
Yeah. It's good.
Basically the same bit.
Yeah.
He took out his little elf doink.
Did you say love doink?
No, little elf doink.
Oh, I definitely thought love you said doink? His love doink.
That's better, I think.
I'm kind of surprised no one's ever used that term before, and I think you should trademark it. Hashtag love doink.
Wow, this is the second episode where we've trademarked a new phrase.
Yeah. What was the last one?
Fart jar.
Fart jar. Well, that was my phrase.
I know, but technically love doink is yours too, because you misheard me.
I feel like that's something that Andy Samberg would have come up with. That's very Andy Samberg-like.
Hey, want to see my love doink?
Hey, it's that guy.
Michael Lerner is his name.
Yeah.
He's always a prick. That's his shtick. Really stern boss guy who will insult you to your face. I know him from Barton Fink, and he was in the Matthew Broderick Godzilla as a Roger Ebert spoof.
I'm gonna look him up on IMDb.
I wonder if that has an adverse effect on an actor's health to always play a guy who's yelling at someone.
To always play a jerk.
I mean, just like that has to elevate your heart rate to be like.
Yeah. Oh, he was in X-Men: Days of Future Past.
He was
a senator. Oh. He was Senator Brickman.
I forgot he was in that. That's a hell of a movie.
Yeah, it's a great one. He was also in a short called Wax On, Fuck Off. I'm looking because I feel like he was in something when I was a kid. And I, for some reason...
Yes, Kelly, Barton Fink.
I never saw that. I always...
I know.
I always picture him as the principal and head of the class, but I know that's not him.
No, that's not him. You should watch Barton Fink. It's a fucked up movie, but I think you would appreciate it.
What is the premise?
So John Turturro plays a screenwriter who is hired by Michael Lerner, who's a big time producer, to write a movie about a wrestler.
Mm-hmm.
It takes place in the 40s. So he's staying at this hotel in Hollywood while he writes the script, but he's got writer's block. So it's just like this psychological fucked up movie where like he's just stuck in his own head and he starts seeing things. And John Goodman plays his next door neighbor in the hotel, and John Goodman's character's totally fucking nuts.
Okay, I'm interested. Isn't John Turturro in it?
I just said that. He's the screenwriter.
Right.
Well, you weren't listening to what
I was reading.
Said.
I was reading.
God damn it.
This snowball scene is epic. This is an epic snowball fight.
This is epic.
You guys, how does he make so many snowballs in such a short period of time?
Oh my God, you guys.
Like, his brother makes exactly one snowball and he, like, gets an armful. How do you think he does it?
He is snowball AF.
I didn't know where you were going with that, but I like it. I'm going to be Snowball AF the next time we have a snowball fight. Hey, you know who he was in?
You know who he was in? I don't know. What was her name?
Do you know what else Michael Lerner was in?
What?
In 1997, there was a Clueless series and he played Cher's dad.
Really?
He played Mel Horowitz. Mm. So going back into my history, I can't figure out what the first thing was that I saw him in. But when I saw him in this, I fully recognized him. I was like, oh, it's that guy.
Maybe it was a Mandela effect.
Nope.
Oh.
Maybe. Actually, maybe I truly thought
you,
he was
again,
the...
you weren't listening.
No, I was. I
no,
was.
No, not that. Not what you just said.
I
Wait. Yes, Mandela effect. Yes, you're right.
Shh. He was in one episode of MacGyver and one episode of The A-Team, both of which I watched religiously.
It's possible you saw one of them or maybe both even.
He was on an episode of Wonder Woman. He was literally a that guy on like every show. He was on Confessions of the DA Man, Ruby and Oswald, Kojak. He was Jack Ruby.
Really?
In the Ruby and Oswald TV movie. He was in an episode of Wonder Woman. He was in an episode of Barnaby Jones. He was in an episode of... I don't even know what these are. The Gridlock, This Year's Blonde, The Postman Always Rings Twice.
So he's Rick Dalton.
Yeah.
He just goes to from show to show.
Being a jerk.
Being a jerk and losing to the good guy. I gotta say, that wouldn't be a bad job. Like, I just go on every show and be a guest villain on every show. I would take that gig. Jesus, Rick Dalton, you should be happy with that.
I know Ricky Dalton.
I know you're no longer the leading man, but like...
That's, Ricky D.
That's a fun gig. Yeah. You get to be a prick all the time.
Francisco.
What part is that?
Well, he meets a Francisco in the hallway, and then when he's sitting there reading the book, and Walter's like, hey, buddy.
That's right.
Trying to work. Which, how does he work, by the way, with no computer?
Yeah, that's a hell of a point.
It's 2003.
Yeah.
People had computers.
He probably does shit. He's like Patrick Bateman in American Psycho. He just pretends to be a top executive.
Yeah, like he just, he sits in
He's clearly, his heart's not in his job anymore because
well,
he's...
No.
Greenlighting books that have pages missing.
Right. But like, he's sitting at a desk with not even a large stack of manuscripts. It's like seven pieces of paper, a desk blotter, a phone, and a name tag.
I think that's sort of the point. He's on his way out. And Buddy is the catalyst where he's like, you know what? I don't need this shit anymore. Right here, we got Andy Richter and Kyle Gass.
Yeah, this is a great little pairing.
It is.
Where is Andy Richter from? He sounds Chicago.
I have no idea. Probably.
He sounds Chicago-ish.
Let's look him up.
What's your song for looking things up?
I don't have one.
Would you like me to sing it for you? Justin's gonna look it up on Google. Yeah.
I feel like Broadway's not right for me.
Okay, hold on.
Justin's
just gonna say,
looking up on Google, yeah.
I was gonna say, Justin's gonna look it up on Google!
Andy Richter's from Michigan.
Okay, close enough.
This was the first thing we saw Peter Dinklage in.
Yes, it was.
I think it was.
And ever since then, he's always the guy from Elf.
He's always the guy from Elf, and he's usually a prick.
Yeah.
Case in point, Days of Future Past.
Yeah, that's true. So we didn't watch... we are not Games of Thrones people.
No, we are not Game of Thrones people.
We are not Game of Thrones people.
Yeah.
But to me, he's the elf guy.
That's where he got the most famous from, I think.
Yeah. But
yeah, he's the elf guy. He's the angry elf. He's on a date with Jovi.
They have a lovely date. It's so cute.
They do. It's very, like, high schoolers running around the city.
Right.
He's so excited about the Christmas tree in the department store. And she's like, no. This is a Christmas tree.
Yeah.
I want to go to fucking Rockefeller Center
at
Christmas
time. It's so pretty. I know. Next year.
We need to do that.
Let's pledge to do it next year as long as the world is safe again.
What do you suppose the waiting list is for ice skating there?
I can't imagine.
It's got to be like weeks and months.
Another place I'd love to go at Christmas time is London.
Yes, definitely.
I'm not really sure why.
Well, because
it has the old-timey feel, I guess. Yeah.
Christmas Carol takes place in London.
I don't think it's going to look anything like that.
It won't, but no. I would absolutely love to go there at Christmas time. They don't get much snow there, I don't think, but...
No, they don't.
Even though in the old classic stories, they always had a ton of snow.
Yeah. Apparently, everyone's always been dreaming of a white Christmas. Hey, Bing. Have a cup of coffee.
What?
I think you need some coffee, Bing.
Bing Crosby, he was always drunk when he sang, apparently.
Maybe just sleepy.
Maybe both. Homage to It's a Wonderful Life. He's on a bridge in the snow.
Oh, so smart. He's not thinking about throwing himself over, though.
He's not.
But he's not that despondent.
It's still an homage.
So listen.
Go ahead.
I find it ridiculous that Walter Hobbs' boss is making him work this late on Christmas Eve. It's bullshit. Walter Hobbs should have said, F you.
Well, he did. I mean,
well, he did now.
He said, up yours. People don't say that anymore.
We should start doing that again.
Hey, up yours.
You know what, Harry? Up yours.
So now Buddy is trying to help Santa because Santa's sleigh is out of...
Christmas spirit.
It's out of belief juice.
Belief juice.
I prefer to call it belief juice. Mm-hmm. I can't take off without my belief juice. Can you help me?
I'm a nervous Nelly mom who's in this... we're in this time frame where we're soon going to have a non-believer.
Uh-huh.
And I just can't reconcile. It makes me so sad.
Kelly, we both came out the other side okay. You know this, right?
Yes, but selfishly, I don't want him to.
From my perspective, I feel like once he does, he'll appreciate us more.
Maybe.
Because he'll be like, wait a minute, you guys did all that? Oh my God, I love you.
So because of that, I'm like really protective of what movies I will allow him to watch. And so...
What movies haven't you allowed him to watch for that reason?
The only one so far is the original The Santa Claus. Because there's so much attention paid to There's No Such Thing as Santa. There's No Such Thing as Santa. They do prove
actually,
it
Actually, we haven't
end.
Let him watch Miracle on 34th Street either.
Correct. Because there's so much focus. And in both movies, the idea is you leave the movie thinking, there probably is a Santa. But it places so much doubt, I don't want any more seeds planted than need to be.
Yeah.
And so when I saw this for the first time, and they're, you know, the parents can't do that all in one night thing, I was sitting next to my nephew and I was like, let's just glaze over this. I hope he glazes over this. Because once the kid has one tiny seed of doubt planted, they hear a line like that and they're like, oh, it's definitely true.
Well, it depends on the kid.
Yeah. I mean, to be fair, I think my friend's brother told me when I was in second grade, and
I still held on to
the belief until I was in fourth.
Yeah.
By fifth grade, I knew he wasn't real, except that I also remember waking up in the middle of the night. I had swore I heard a noise on the roof. Like, I still so desperately wanted to believe.
Mm-hmm. I was told probably third or fourth grade by a classmate, and I was like, no, I have a letter from Santa. How could I have a letter from Santa? It was not real. And so I talked to my parents about it. And they go, no, you have a letter. It's framed.
Right.
Of course. And then it wasn't until I figured it out late. I was in sixth grade.
I can't believe it was that late.
It's ridiculous.
Yeah.
Especially considering what a cynic I am.
Right. However, it falls completely in line with you're still a child.
Yeah.
At heart.
It does.
Yeah.
I am still a child. And yet... I have a hard time relating to children, oddly. It makes no sense.
Well, you're not their kind of child. You're your kind of child.
Yeah, I guess. But, like, So my Christmas was split across two houses because my parents were divorced and I would spend
Christmas Eve and remarried.
I would spend Christmas Eve at my dad's house. We would open the parent presents, and then on Christmas morning we would open the Santa presents. And that year, Santa left presents for my friends next door. I was like, why would Santa leave presents for them here? That makes no sense. And on top of that, a couple of weeks earlier, we had, at my mom's house, we had moved into a new house, and I was just exploring the house, and I went in my parents' closet, just because they had a huge closet. I had never seen anything like that before. Mm. It wasn't quite walk-in, but it was close to walk-in.
Yeah.
And in one corner was a bag of gifts that were clearly for me. I was like, oh my God, these are my presents from my parents. Let's see what they got. Oh, that's pretty cool. That's pretty cool. And then on Christmas morning, that was all I got. There were no additional presents. And some of the stuff that I saw there were marked as from Santa. I was like, well, the jig is up.
Yeah.
So this is the part of the movie that I am least interested in, where it turns into like an action movie kind of climax.
Yeah.
It's the least fun part of it. It's like where they abandon the cute, fun, amusing stuff.
And yeah, but
there has to be a Hollywood climax where there's a chase through Central Park.
It's not a huge deal in that they use it for a good part here, where like they get to the sort of old school Christmas movie feeling of like the whole town pulled together and made it work.
Yeah.
You know, like where everyone sings and the people on the TV, like the people in the dive bar and the little girl at home all sing, and it's just very cute.
I just find it a bit belabored. Oh, he's reading the list for everyone. And all the kids are like, oh my God, that's me. It's amazing that they're all watching this station.
Thanks,
at this
Betty.
Time.
It's New York One, Justin. Robin works for New York One.
She does.
Yeah.
Metro News One. Why wasn't she in this? Hi, I'm Robin Scherbatsky, and I'm a dirty, dirty girl. Ooh. And then she falls into reindeer poop.
You better not cry. He's making a list. He's dragging her twice. I want a hippopotamus for Christmas.
I wonder if she sings that.
That was her.
On any of her Christmas albums.
That was her 50 years ago.
She's a time traveler?
Yep.
Wow. You've created a really interesting narrative for her.
I have. Zooey Deschanel is a time traveler.
I want to know if Mary Steenburgen can sing or if she was like...
I don't think she can sing.
I was going to say, can she legitimately not sing? Or did she try really hard not to sing? It almost seems like she tried hard to make that work.
No, I think she just was like, I can't hit this note. I'm going to try.
Mew, 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 mew.
It's going to sound
mew,
bad.
Mew, mew. You want to know what I'm doing right now? Setting my alarm for an absurd hour to get up and shove things in a turkey's butt.
Shove things up a turkey's ass.
I get to get up, and while I'm groggy, I'm going to clean out a really cold turkey, shove things in its butthole, and then cook it for my family.
You know what song you should put on while you're doing that?
What?
John Lennon's Cold Turkey.
Oh, that'd be
cold
weird.
Turkey! Gonna put things in your butt. Oh, they made it off the ground because
Santa got the sleigh to
fly. Because of all the singing.
Buddy helped him fix it.
Because of all the singing.
Buddy feels useful. Santa's got the Christmas spirit. Jovi got
and,
to sing and use her voice.
You know, they got to do the thing where, like, yeah, he's got the technology, but the technology failed him, so we need old-fashioned Christmas spirit.
James Caan can play the piano.
Yeah, it looked like that was real.
Yeah.
It was certainly real of Zooey singing like a 1940s songstress.
That's true. There's an episode of New Girl where I forget what the context is, but basically, like, I think she's trying to talk dirty to her boyfriend on a date. And someone was like, can you do voices? And she was like, I can do a 1940s reporter.
What show is this?
Hilarious. New Girl. It's a running joke that she sounds like an old timey character. Why are you doing your old timey character? I'm not doing an old timey character. So did you notice that they named the baby Susie after Susan Wells?
Oh.
Yeah.
I did not notice that before.
Yep. Do you think that Papa Elf was like, seriously? You name her after someone that's not in the North Pole? Why didn't you name your baby Papa Elf?
I mean, it was his mom.
You know what? Papa Elf is a jealous man. Papa Elf is
Papa
jealous.
Papa Elf is a jealous
He's
man?
Jealous.
Is he?
I don't know.
I feel like you're inventing this backstory for him, that he's got like this weird hang-up on loyalty to the North Pole people.
This is what I'm saying. He's like, yeah, you know what? She abandoned you and died. And who's here now? We're here. Why didn't you name her after Papa Elf?
Is this the mom and the fighter? Yeah. Why did you name her after that MTV girl?
Hey, she disappeared off the face of the earth, huh?
Melissa Leo?
Yeah.
A little bit, yeah.
What is she up to these days?
I don't know.
Look is she up. On anything?
This is a real tangent we've gone on. Because it says
I've got, about I've as got little Melissa to do with Elf Leo.
As I can imagine.
She's got nothing to do with this film.
Wow, you just made up a musical about people looking up Melissa Leo during Elf. That is a niche.
Isn't it weird that she disappeared? Where did she go?
We should write a musical called Leo Equals Elf.
And try to connect it. She's got a lot of credits.
She's been a lot of stuff. We've only seen her in that one thing. But...
apparently. There's like a lot of stuff here that we have not seen that
oh,
she's in.
Oh, they actually do Baby It's Cold Outside, her and
yes,
Leon Redbone.
I told you that.
You did?
Yeah, I said they sing a song at the end of the. They sing it at the end of the movie.
I generally don't listen to anything women tell me.
Yeah, it's about right. There's not a cat under this chair, right?
That's about right.
Is there a cat under here?
I don't think so. You'll find out in like a second.
Don't do that. That's mean.
This casting consultant, Howard Feuer. The name looked familiar to me. You want to know why? Because I've seen a fuckload of movies. You know what he's casting directed?
No.
Fisher King, Dead Poets Society, Silence of the Lambs, Philadelphia, The Ref, What Women Want.
He's very good at his job.
He's very good at his deed.
Aww.
2004, unfortunately. But
so this is one of the last things he did?
Yeah, it is. That's crazy, though. Like, I can see a name randomly in the credits and be like, I know that name. That's how many movies I've watched, Kelly.
Yeah.
There's a lot of things wrong upstairs. So, your thoughts on Elf?
I mean, I think, yeah, I really like this movie. I'm enthusiastically in love with this movie. Anyone who wants to listen to me talk about it will hear it.
It's a good Christmas film. I enjoy
it. It's a great Christmas film.
I enjoy it quite a bit.
It captures the spirit of being young at Christmas time and enjoying everything that the holiday has to offer.
In a very innocent way. It's not,
yes.
It's not a cynical film. In fact, it actually thumbs its nose at cynics.
Correct.
So there's something to be said for that. It's like the anti-Scrooged.
Mm-hmm. Yes. And so
Scrooge is like the ultimate cynical Christmas movie.
As we have talked about, it took me a long time to come around to Scrooge for that reason.
And I was the opposite for this.
Which tells you a little bit about our dynamic as a couple.
I'm a prick and you're
I'm a cheerleader.
Warm-hearted, lovely person. Yeah. Kelly is a much better person than I will ever be, and I have no shame in saying that.
Thank you.
Well, you are.
That's very sweet.
I'm fully aware of the fact that I'm a difficult human being.
I'm fully aware of the fact that I'm deplorably awful.
I'm not deplorably awful.
No,
but
I know.
I'm difficult.
I know you're not.
And I appreciate that you're not, generally speaking.
Well, thank you.
You're a very nice, warm-hearted person.
Thank you.
I feel like I'm a warm-hearted person. I just have a hard time getting to it.
You're a warm-hearted person. You're not demonstratively warm.
No.
There's a meme that every time it comes up in my memories on Facebook, I laugh. And it's a metal guy who's at a show and he's like, fuck yeah! And he's got the devil horns up. And then in the next frame, he sees a kitty and he's like, oh, kitty! It's like,
That's definitely me.
That's definitely you. It's like I love the hardest, nastiest, like horror movies and like heavy metal and rock and dark stuff. But you also really love kittens and Christmas and... Yeah. You know, adorable puppies. And so you have both sides.
I have a hard time reconciling the two.
But you also, like, you're not a demonstratively warm person.
No, I'm not.
So, you know, in a, like when we were first dating, you were super demonstratively warm to me and still are. But other people, I don't think were able to see that.
But everyone else in your circle was like, what the fuck are you doing with him?
He just seems really, like, stoic.
I let very few people in is the thing.
And you let the right ones in.
I let the right ones in. Like that vampire movie. That's awesome. Mm-hmm. That horror movie that's fucking awesome.
Yeah.
And disturbing and great.
Yep.
Yes.
Yep.
Yeah.
Yep.
If Christmas movies were people, you would be Elf.
Yeah, and you would be Scrooge.
I would be Scrooge.
That's very true.
Except that we meet in the middle and find It's a Wonderful Life, which is one of the greatest films ever made.
But it captures both sides of it.
It does capture both sides.
It's dark and it's warm.
Yes, it is. But we're not talking about that movie. We're talking about Elf. God damn it. Stay on topic. Jesus.
We've already talked about It's a Wonderful Life. People can go find it.
They can. YouTube.com/C/Enuffa.com.
S-E-E or the letter C?
No, the letter C. That's what? Our channel. C for channel.
I know nothing about this stuff. I'm the talent. I just show up and talk.
Oh, okay.
Justin does the rest.
You were about to say I'm Italian. I'm Italian. Hey, I don't know what the C.
Hey, I don't know what any of this means.
What are you doing?
I'm a bongo yo.
I'm a bongo yo.
I actually tried to look it up. I don't know what that means. I assume what it means.
It's fuck you, I think.
But it's not an Urban Dictionary that way.
Really?
I can't find it.
Oh, that's weird.
Yeah. So if I offended any of my Italian friends out there, I am sorry.
Sorry.
They say it in The Godfather.
They say it in The Godfather, so therefore it's legit.
Right. And so just like everything else, Justin and I speak probably 60% of the time in movie speak. So, you know, when he annoys me, I say, I'm a fungo yo!
I think you probably speak 40% and I speak 80%. That's, and we balance out at 60.
That's true.
Anyway, Elf.
I don't know where it fits in my top Christmas movies. Like,
it's in my top 10.
It's in my top 10, yeah. But I'm trying to, like, is it in my top 5? Maybe.
I wouldn't put it in my top 5, but it's in my top 10. It captured the innocence of Christmas when you're a kid.
Yeah. I love Christmas time.
I do too. I wish that Christmas time didn't stress me out the way it does now.
I'm hoping that this year will be different. Because it's a pandemic. We're not commuting.
It is a pandemic. Yeah,
we're working from home.
Yeah.
I've already decorated most of the house for Christmas because...
I'm happy that like the house is basically decorated.
Yeah. When it comes to the holidays, generally, it's always busy at work. We're both crazy people. We commute into the city.
Yeah.
It's a freaking nightmare. Now we have a kid, and so we have like a job to do at Christmas time.
Right.
And so for the last couple of years, it doesn't feel like we've been able to enjoy it. And every weekend
it's been
packed.
More than the last couple of years. It's right. Been almost a decade.
Right. And his birthday is like 2 weeks before Christmas.
Right, right.
So we
right.
also have to do the birthday thing and have a big party and do all the stuff and buy double gifts. And so it's just a lot. I think this year, because we can't have the big party and we're not doing, you know, we're not going to a Yankee swap this weekend and a Christmas party that weekend.
Yep.
I do think that will help.
I'm glad that we'll be able to just sit and relax and enjoy it a little bit more. Because as a kid...
That's all you
that
did.
That was part of the fun. You lit the tree up and you would watch TV. You would watch your Christmas specials. You'd watch the movies that came on. And for those 3 or 4 weeks before Christmas, you would just
sit It just felt magical all the time.
And absorb it all. I miss the act of just taking it all in.
I miss
slowly.
The act of just being.
Being and taking it all in and enjoying the season and the build-up to it. Thanks for joining us for the first Christmas 2020 episode.
Yeah, thank you. Merry pandemic Christmas. Happy holidays. Happy Hanukkah.
Happy Kwanzaa.
And happy Kwanzaa. And we hope that you survive with sanity through all this craziness. Goodbye!
Goodbye! That was a weird harmony. I had heartburn. That didn't help.
Thanks for watching, everybody. Don't forget to click that subscribe button and follow us on Twitter, MeWe, and Facebook.